homepage on FM 103.1, AM 680, and WOGO.com as we continue our summer series with a different author every week from the Chippewa Valley Local Authors Group. And joining us today is Cecilia Zorn, Dr. Cecilia Zorn. She is Professor Emerita from UW-Eau Claire, nursing educator, and with us in studio today. Welcome.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. The Chippewa Valley Local Authors Group has a monthly meeting right at the local store at Volume 1, and you just had... So for people who have never heard about it before, tell us about the group and about kind of how you help encourage each other.
Yeah, Chippewa Valley Local Authors, or CVLA as we call it, is a group of about 35 local authors who've come together. We've been together about a year, and our primary mission is to help each other market our work, publicize our work, learn from each other. So we show up at lots of different events and support each other's marketing and publicity and exposure in all those ways.
So a nursing educator at UW-Eau Claire, tell me about your career there.
Actually, when I think about my career, I think about it in three different ways. The first is I am a registered nurse, and I've had a good chunk of practice in hospital settings with adults, and then moved into nursing education and have done that for probably about 35 years. 32 of those have been here at the university, teaching undergraduate, graduate students, doing a lot of nonfiction writing in that role. And then when I retired from there 4 years ago, I moved into fiction writing. So this novel, Angels Don't Get Tattoos, is my first novel.
So writing a lot of professional things in the education realm. So my sense is, Cecilia Zorn, I'm feeling kind of a release from the confines of nonfiction to more of the imagination, creativity of fiction, or what?
Yeah, the nonfiction really taught me a lot, and I loved writing nonfiction. It was very, the focus was on being concise and clear and thinking about a target audience. All of those skills have served me well. But then my love for creative language and storytelling really moved me into fiction writing.
All right, and so your book, this is your one and only book here?
Actually, that's my first novel.
Okay.
I wrote a book, nonfiction, in several book chapters and, I don't know, probably 35 nonfiction articles. But this is my first work of fiction.
Your first work of fiction, Angels Don't Get Tattoos. Tell us about it.
It's about a 16-year-old named Kennedy Winger, and it's really the last 3 months of her life. She was diagnosed with cancer at age 12. Went through very aggressive treatment, and now was at a point in her life where nothing was working and she wanted to go home to die. So the book is about the last 3 months of her life with her friends in high school, her neighbor friends, her family, how she manages all of that in Madison, Wisconsin. Actually, it's set in Madison. She's from a lower middle income family background. I think that socioeconomic status is not very well represented in the literature. Upper Midwest is pretty invisible in the literature. So I really wanted to give voice for people from that background in the Upper Midwest. So hence the setting.
So when you say what's invisible in the literature, you mean in novels so often, what, it's East Coast and the wealthy?
Yep, East Coast, West Coast, the South, people from very, much more upper middle class, more affluent families.
Let me do somebody more impoverished in the Midwest. So it would seem to me like one of the things that's scary, Cecilia Zorn, about writing a novel, I've never embarked on that, but I mean, is the idea. I mean, certainly you want to write in your area of expertise, right? Because it's, you wonder what John Grisham writing about law, et cetera, or something like that. So, I mean, talk about drawing from your medical experience and coming to this story idea.
Yeah, actually, there's a strong secondary character in the novel who's a nurse, of course, and is informed by my practice and background. And I am also from a lower middle class family background and from the upper Midwest by birth and raised, although I lived in Southern California for a while. So I think I bring my experience both personally and professionally to that novel.
Yeah. So what made you confident that, I can tell this from the vantage point of a 16-year-old?
Actually, it was inspired early on in my career. I met a 16-year-old patient when I was practicing nursing in Southern California. Her name was Natalie. I wasn't much older than she was. I was probably 21. And she also was facing the decision to go home to die. And her family and her friends said, "No, Natalie, don't give up. You know, you can do this. Try another drug." And she said, "No, I am certain that I want to go home to die." And as a 21-year-old, meeting her at 16, I thought, there's something wrong with this picture. She is facing her own dying and her death, and yet she's trying to convince her family and her friends that this is what she wanted to do. So that experience kind of stuck with me, and I wanted to give voice to teenagers who don't survive cancer. But to learn about, perhaps you're asking about sort of teen dialogue and some of that in a novel, I really worked hard at making that as natural and as real without overkill in the novel. So I would spend hours hanging around at Taco John's in Eau Claire with tables of teenagers around me taking notes about, you know, what they said and how they said it. So I think I gave voice, a strong voice to teens.
Let me read the back of the book. You talk about Kennedy Wigger, a savvy 16-year-old with end-stage cancer, a leg amputation, and a lily tattoo. Driven by her gritty independence, she expects to die peacefully in her family's small home in a burly, well-worn Madison, Wisconsin neighborhood. Instead, Kennedy collides with family, friends, societal isolation, her aching heart, and a brutal secret from her past, which we're not going to reveal here. You got to read the book. Sometimes prickly, but always with a smart sense of humor, Kennedy feels the caged lion cub at the zoo and declares cancer isn't the teddy bear angel society sells. She invents a way to help her younger brother and is tempted to restart cancer treatment. Angels Don't Get Tattoos is filled with anger, revenge, sadness, shame, fear, and love. Her pet dog, Beatles music, the hospice nurse, and the clumsy love of family, three best friends, and a neighborhood kid carry Kennedy through dying and death, but her story doesn't end on the last page. So you got to read Angels Don't Get Tattoos to find out more. I'm intrigued by when you say she invents a way. Let's see, where was it? I was intrigued by something as I read that. Kennedy feels like the caged lion cub at the zoo and declares cancer isn't the teddy bear angel society sells. What do you mean?
Well, she's pretty gritty, as the summary indicated, and feels that sometimes cancer is portrayed as, you know, pink ribbon, I can survive this, everything is glory if I have good friends and good family. And she kind of uncovers that that's not always the case, and it certainly was not the case for her.
So does that reveal something about you, the author, though, Cecilia Zorn, that you, I mean, is there something we can read behind that for you, that you have some kind of feelings in terms of that, like pink ribbons and some of that?
Well, I think if all we do is think about pink ribbons and surviving cancer with our friends and our family, we are not presenting the shadow side of that. So I think there's value in publicizing cancer and all the efforts for fundraising and all of that. I don't discount or dismiss that at all. But I think we're fooling ourselves if we don't look at the cancer experience in all its dimensions.
I know my niece is, she just turned 19 on the 4th of July. Her name is Paige. She's at University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, studying to be a nurse. And so maybe I should recommend this to her because the guy that she's been dating for a couple of years, Jake, going to UW-Whitewater, lost a brother at about age 15 or 16 to cancer. And so I think, talk about how stories like that, because it seems like you want to call attention to whether when you were a 21-year-old nurse or even in your story, in terms of, is there something we want to hear the feel-good stories. This doesn't sound like it's going to be that, your book.
It's not a feel-good story in that there's no secret that Kennedy does not survive.
You don't
cancer.
Hide that. You don't hide that, yeah.
Not at all. I think it is a story of strength and courage, though, when you think about, or when the reader thinks about her friends and her family coming around and themselves facing challenges and barriers in their relationship and in their personal life, and how there's strength in that, even though the protagonist, the main character, does not survive the cancer.
Right.
So I really am intrigued by teens who are dealt a deathly blow, if you will, and somehow manage through their grittiness and their courage and their strength and those around them to handle that.
Death is so common in literature. I want to talk about with you when we come back in terms of whether literature or movies, ones that are memorable to you. Did you draw or learn from anything from them? Is there something unique you wanted to express, how you handled this? I've got a favorite. It's a nonfiction account, but I'll mention that as well as I think about movies and books that have influenced me in that regard. So anyhow, Move to Laughter. Would you say the book would potentially move people both to laughter and tears?
Actually, that summarizes it beautifully. It is a roller coaster.
Okay.
And people say, oh, I was reading it at the pool and I was, you know, just really crying my heart out. Hopefully no one saw me. And then I went to the next chapter and I laughed out loud because there was some silliness in it.
So, that's the best. I mean, that's what I want from my films, my sermons, and if you can get it in a book as well. Cecilia Zorn from Chippewa Valley Local Author CVLA with us. If you got a question or comment, she'll take it. 723-2555 in Eau Claire at Chippewa Falls. 1-800-657-4769.
Nobles Tire Service, we keep you rolling strong. Over the years, we've been the name to trust. When you need tires, you need to come see us. From cars to trucks, farm equipment, and more. Nobles has the tires that you're looking for. We're family owned, so we take good care of you. Nobles Tire Service. We keep you rolling strong.
When you're thinking about a high-visibility, easy-to-find office space for your business, consider the Communication Center on Business Highway 53-124 across from Farm and Fleet. Right now, WWIBWOGO has space for rent with four private offices, conference room, and reception area. This first-floor, 2,000-square-foot office area has great access to Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, and Lake Halley, and it includes so much more. For details, call 715-723-1037 or go to WWIB.com or text the word RENT to 77,000 for a link to our website.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
Cecilia Zorn from CVLA, Chippewa Valley Local Authors, with us this second half hour of a Wednesday homepage on FM 103.1 AM 680 and WOGO.com. More on her book and what she's working on, I guess, is it going to be a sequel or what?
It is a sequel.
Okay.
I've taken a best friend of the main character in this book, Angels Don't Get Tattoos, and she also, as a high school junior, is facing a very challenging situation.
All right. We'll get that more with Cecilia coming up. And she's got an interesting spin on the title away from Angels Don't Get Tattoos. We'll get the title of the sequel and more with Cecilia. But first, hey, be car care aware. Listen for the car care tip of the day. Weekdays brought to you by your area Eau Claire and Lake Halley Auto Value Auto Parts stores. So when I think about death in literature, a lot of times my kids, I just had my fourth child who made it through a local Eau Claire elementary school, and a lot of the books they had to read were for Battle of the Books or whatever. There's death involved, and you can think about it whether it's with juvenile literature or movies, what have you, having to do with death. Is there something for you from a literature background or a film that stands out to you that, I don't know, you had in mind even as you wrote this? Or did you want to just blaze your own new trail in terms of?
I didn't have anything necessarily in mind. Mm-hmm. I've always been very comfortable with dying and death. My family was very comfortable with it. It was just very much a part of life. So I don't have kind of any negative sense about it, other than, of course, the loss that families experience with it. So I wanted to present dying and death in that way. So the novel isn't really about, you know, day after day, the grueling loss of one's life. There are some hints at that and I think some truthful representations of it. But I really wanted it about relationships and coping and strength of people in the novel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I think Tuesdays with Maury is more, it's a different, it's not a novel, and it's Maury Schwartz is this professor from Brandeis University, and Mitch Albom has gone from sports reporter to, you know, acclaimed author, starting with that book. And he'd written some sports books, but that was one very, very well written. And in terms of, you could feel the love story between, you know, former student and teacher. And so, and that was a huge bestseller too, obviously. So, yeah. But
I think the lessons, the Tuesdays with Maury, I think there was a lot of sort of lessons yeah. learned, right. end of life, sharing yeah. of wisdom sort of a thing. I think that's more perhaps implicit in the novel mm-hmm. and not as sort of sure. right up front, yeah. but the reader gets that.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Right. So about relationship, I mean, I oftentimes do Relationship Mondays on our sister station, FM 103.7 and WIB.com, in terms of saying I think that's the most important thing in life. Mm-hmm. I advocate your relationship with God, your relationship with others. Talk about relationship, observing that, experiencing that, and writing about it, Cecilia Zorn.
I think that the challenge was looking at Kennedy's three best friends, her parents, who have some relationship issues, and developing those characters uniquely from each other and not sort of typecasting teenagers or parents in one way. So that was the challenge for me, looking at Jasmine and Megan and Sarah, her friends, and Jackson, the kid next door, and developing relationships that could stand alone, that wouldn't be sort of put in a bushel basket of relationships of young people.
You say you've been comfortable with death. You grew mm-hmm. up in a family, but obviously many are not.
Right.
And so are you looking to help them be more at ease with it? Or is there something, again, not to be preachy, but to model? What are you looking to model?
Yeah, not at all to be preachy. I think it is a novel, and it presents a situation that realistically could occur. So I hope that people will become more comfortable with death and dying. And I think that's happening in our society with some of the legislation, end of life discussions, and all of that. So I think this is just a piece of art that helps people perhaps to ask some questions.
So, I mean, do you specifically believe, as somebody who was a longtime nurse educator, I mean, and even as you write in this book or working, I mean, that people should not try to extend their life as long as they can?
That's a whole different question. I think that's an individual question that people need to answer based on their beliefs and their values and their culture and their support system. I cannot offer an answer mm-hmm. About that for anyone else.
What about, I mean, do you have ever any interest in terms of writing about like physician-assisted suicide or anything like that?
Probably not. Probably mm-hmm. not.
Yeah. All right. I think recently, I'm trying to think of the name of the movie where there's a man in a wheelchair, and all of a sudden the woman he dates, and
you
ultimately...
You and Me? Or
yeah, yeah.
Me and Not You, or before, You and Not Me.
Before Me and You,
yeah.
I believe it was. What, okay, we came to it. There we go. And I think I have not seen that movie, but I mean, it, somewhat controversially, apparently some of the negative reviews on it from some folks have been in terms of the fact that... I don't want to give it away. But anyhow... seems to take on sort of a, some have suggested, a pro-euthanasia or pro...
I can't speak to it. I haven't
yeah,
seen
you haven't seen
movie.
It either. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyhow. All right. So dealing with death. Are there books? I mean, I guess I'm thinking as I talk with you about like Elizabeth Kubler-Ross on death and dying. Are there other folks who, beyond your book, Angels Don't Get Tattoos, are helpful, do you think, with people in this area?
I think another aspect is the John Green novel, of course, with Fault in Our Stars. Mm-hmm. That was very different than Angels Don't Get Tattoos. In that book, romance, I think,
right.
was the tying together of the plot, and it was an evolution around romance, if you will. In Angels Don't Get Tattoos, romance is a very... very minor subplot. It's not about a romantic relationship.
But so often in these stories in Hollywood, so often somebody was sick and then they get better. Not always.
Mm-hmm.
Not always. But talk about the different turn. I mean, some books and movies, you know, hey, it's all happy. And yet it seems like when a main character does die, you acknowledge in yours, you're not hiding that in yours, what happens with Kennedy and movies like the one you reference, that's a completely different experience. And
It is. And I think people need to kind of expand their notion around dying and death and bring people together around a discussion that focuses on that. And not, I don't mean obsess with it, but I think just an honest, informed, realistic look at all the different ways that people die.
Yeah. And I think it's, as I think about that and even ask you that question, Cecilia Zorn, it feels to me, with all due respect to the movies that and books that would end happily, it feels like there's greater depth in dealing with the death. I think there's greater, it's greater to deal with that grief, to deal with the mourning, right, to deal with the loss.
Right. And I think some of the literature, perhaps in the movies that do end in death, really don't look at, so what happens after someone survives cancer or doesn't survive cancer. So that's a whole other sort of unending issue, I think, in our society that isn't addressed well.
All right, and a little bit more with Cecilia Zorn talking about her book, Angels Don't Get Tattoos, her novel, a local author. And I have to say, just talking with her this half hour, I'm not a big fiction reader, but I think it certainly heightens my interest to get to know the author some, to get to know the background a little bit. And hey, your summer reading include Angels Don't Get Tattoos. Where can you find it, and what's she working on next? We'll tell you when we come back for our final moments, WOGO.
From the first building block to the last coat of paint, Menards is here to help. Get an 11% rebate on everything in the store, including thousands of sale price items. You'll save 11% on everything you need, so you can finish your latest project and start planning the next big thing. Get building with an 11% rebate on everything, even sale prices, now at Menards. Good through July 9th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Are you tired of scrolling through news feeds and channels, asking yourself, where is the news that I want? Well, the U.S. and Eau Claire Journal offers a clear conservative Christian message, which promotes life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness to the citizens of the Eau Claire community. Read quality articles about local and national issues affecting you today. Pick up a paper at your local grocery store or subscribe at EauClaireJournal.com. That's EauClaireJournal.com. Lake Alley Golf. Check eSpecials for the best golf deals around.
Are you ready for a change in janitorial services? Here at the radio station, we've relied on Schleppenbach Janitorial for 9 years now. Alex has a personal approach as a local owner, and he won't demand a long-term contract. We know our building is secure. They even triple-check the doors. Schleppenbach Janitorial tailors the cleaning solutions to your business needs. Call Alex today for a free estimate at 723-6601.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
Homepage on FM 103.1 AM 680 and WOGO.com. Getting ready to ride off here in just a couple of minutes. Hey, needing a lawnmower or motorcycle spark plug or battery? See one at the Eau Claire or Lake Alley Auto Value stores. They've got what you need. London Road and Cameron Street in Eau Claire, and also next to Moldy's Archery and Tackle in Lake Alley. Final minute with Cecilia Zorn. She's author of Angels Don't Get Tattoos. Where can people find a copy?
Actually, it's available locally. It's at Crossroad Books in Hamilton Square. It's also at the local store. I really like supporting small businesses, so on my website, there's a list of small businesses across the state where it's available. It's also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble in paper copy and an ebook edition.
So again, your website, CeciliaZorn.com. That's CeciliaZorn.com. Again, you better tell, what's the title on the sequel you're working on?
The title is Devils Don't Wear Velvet.
Again, a contrast to Angels Don't Get Tattoos.
Yeah, right,
okay.
Right. And it's also about a teen. One of Kennedy's best friends is facing a very challenging situation. And I really like writing about teens with strength and courage and how they manage things that life throws at them.
Hmm.
So that's the sequel.
All right.
Devils Don't Wear Velvet.
All right. Very good. Well, we'll continue to look for that in the future. But this summer, hey, Angels Don't Get Tattoos. Go to the website, CeciliaZorn.com, CeciliaZorn.com. Thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thanks, Mark.
And we'll get the podcast of this standalone half hour with her up at WOGO.com. Thanks for listening. So long.